Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm here with Sloan Montana, and this is episode 151. Welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
So, Mr. Montana, can I call you that?
Of course.
I would say one of the coolest names ever.
I get that a lot. Like a lot, like every week. And I'm like, I know. It is. It's true.
Yeah. No, sign my picture here. You know, can I get your autograph?
Yes.
Mr. Montana.
It sounds like a rock star name. It sounds like you should be an actor or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm a trucker and I love it.
You love being a trucker?
Heck yeah.
How long has it been since you've been driving?
Almost a year exactly. I think I had my anniversary here. Yeah. I think like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And I was in the office and everyone was
That's
like,
awesome.
Good job. You did really good. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And we're here to talk about his story, his life related to trucking. And he has an amazing story, weight loss journey. I mean, 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I'm told. Try to stay humble about it, you know?
No, man, that's cool. And I appreciate you wanting that we're able to have this conversation. So we'll talk about that a little bit and just trucking in general. He says he has some maybe hot takes that he's willing to share with us.
Yeah.
Some divisive topics.
Perhaps. It's a big world, you know? A lot of stuff going on. A lot of thoughts about this stuff.
I guess.
Yeah.
So let's start with just a general overview of who Sloan Montana is. And then I have some questions here too. But so you're from the city of Coal City.
Yes. Yes. Coal City Diamond. Yeah. Should I just keep?
Keep okay. telling you grew up there, born and raised.
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up in Coal City. It's a little rural town, used to be a mining town, and it's not anymore, obviously. And I just small town, small community. Most people knew each other. I think maybe 300 kids in the school system, like total or something. Really nice place, really punched above its weight as far as just quality of people and the quality of facilities. Like, our schools were nice. Our schools were really, we put on Broadway shows and stuff. And,
wow.
Or not Broadway quality shows,
right,
where those people would come over and watch our, we're known for our musicals. I don't know why. I was never involved in that stuff. But just kind of a nice, quiet life, you know, not so far away from the city to not get there, you know, within an hour or two, but not so close that we had to deal with it either. Kind of the perfect distance from it. And I like my cornfields. I prefer the cornfields to the cities.
So. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just kind of grew up there in that same little zip code until I was 20.
Okay.
Around there. Yeah. And that's kind of the early stage there. For the most part, I couldn't be happier. Just an average life. That's really all I got on that.
Yeah.
Until I got out of high school. Pretty plain life. Pretty plain life, but good.
Sure. And some of your hobbies, you enjoy baking bread, playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll usually just bake bread when I'm fasting, which I am doing right now, because, listen, it was a dark winter, and I realized it's kind of hard to work out in just knee-deep snow.
Oh.
But anyways, I like doing that. Guitar. I just drive all day and I think about playing guitar.
That's what's on your mind.
Yeah, most of the time. I think if I'd put a lot more work into it when I was younger, I'd be doing something guitar related.
Yeah.
I really like it. Yeah.
Acoustic or electric?
I wrestle with it because I love acoustic and it's what I bring with me on the road. But my love for music is metal music.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And you can't get the same oomph out of a acoustic guitar. You know, I can't play Metallica on acoustic guitar most of the time, but I have a little Baby Taylor guitar.
Yeah.
It's like a dream. It's like a dream. I love it.
Who's your favorite artist?
Probably John Dyer Baisley of a metal band called Baroness.
Okay.
And it's very, I need meaning in my music. Yeah. Like, I like metal, but I can't just have some guy like yelling words at me and stuff, you know? Like, yeah. I need it to be like poetic and meaningful and, you know, add up to something, I guess. That's, I look for meaning in my music, and that's what makes it good to me.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I try to play that stuff, not very well, but nonetheless,
yeah.
I love it.
So, what did you do before trucking and how did you get into it?
So, I can't really say I did anything before trucking because I could say I worked at a warehouse. You know, I worked at Amazon, but I wouldn't have called myself a warehouse worker.
Sure.
And I was never proud to have worked at the places I worked. They were just a way to get money.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say I was anything as far as a profession goes until I came here. And I'm like, oh, I can find like meaning in this.
Right.
And
yeah.
That was.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was like, I figured it out. Oh, that's so nice. Because that's like. That's a problem. I know a lot of people, they struggle to find meaning. And I'm like, I have this here. Like. Oh, that's so, I cannot emphasize enough how important that is.
Oh man, that's really cool to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a career development. You can grow on your skills, encourage people, like become, you know, a trainer or road captain, you know, grow in the certified red. And I like what you said about finding meaning and purpose, because I think everyone wants to get that out of their work, to have meaning and value, and to think, that if you're not getting that out of what you're doing, if you're just coming in and trying to clock out, how soul-sucking that can be, and to realize even if you're not where you want to be, that God can use you where you're at. Like when Paul was in prison, he wasn't just like, get me out of prison. You know, I'm stuck here. I can't minister to people. But God used him to sing a song, and then the whole jail shook, and God used him where he was at. So to think that, what has God put in your life? What is your job, your family, your friends? And then how can you impact that? And I love how you said, I found meaning and value out of your job with here. So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you find that value out of what you're doing? What brings that purpose? And
well, so like on a simplest level, it's I take high value products from point A to point B, and I see that as a valuable service, and find value in knowing you're useful and knowing you're doing something even if you hate what you're doing, and understand that like this probably isn't your end point, but you need to understand that and keep moving forward. The obstacle is the way, and the only way out is through. So I don't know if that answers the question well enough.
Yeah. But you really enjoy the challenge of delivering freight and working through. And you realize I'm helping someone out there that has a pallet of iPhones or deliver a log home kit. I mean, whatever you're delivering.
A lot of Pella. Yeah.
A lot of windows.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most interesting load that you've hauled?
There's this solar company. I don't know what they, I don't know exactly. I don't know if they're the people who set it up or whatever, but basically you just show up there and you can see like hundreds of like posts set up for solar panels, and they'll take you in two at a time and like escort you. And there's like, I think I've been to like three different sites that have the exact same procedure. It's very interesting. They're very hands-on, and, they just unload you there, take it out. And then I passed by one that I delivered to in Macomb, Illinois, like just yesterday, 2 days ago, beginning of the week. And they're all set up and there's nothing there anymore. None of the people are there. It's just hundreds of them. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, they're done, I guess. I don't know. There's a cave, apparently. There's a cave just where I want to go. I'm going to add on to this question. There's a place we deliver to, I think, and you literally you like drive into a mountain, and I see pictures, and I'm like, I want to go there. Why? When are they going to send me there? I don't know. I think it's in like Colorado or something.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. But yeah.
So what are they, what goes in the cave?
I don't know. Gold? Top bars secret. Of gold? Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. I ask this question every week in orientation, and everyone always has crazy answers like, oh, delivering to NASA, delivering, like just wild. Everything in the world takes a truck to get it to where you need to go. I mean, at some point, maybe use plane or a boat, but then eventually it's going to have to get a truck to take it to where it needs to go. And so everything you see was probably delivered on a truck at some point in its lifespan. So to think about how that's really a benefit, helping the world move forward too.
Right. Like, I don't think people understand like the scale of trucking, but more than that, and I'm not like, it's so important. Logistics is so important. If logistics broke down like in any real way for any like long period of time, oh my goodness. Like, I'm not trying to say like I'm super important, I should be the center of the universe, but we need truckers. We need truckers.
Right.
It's so important.
If there was a freeze, it would disrupt the whole economy.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it would be bad.
And they say that trucking drives an economy out of recession because if people are moving more goods, they're buying more things, and that's moving the economy forward. So it is very integral to the world that we live in. So you got into trucking because you were wanting something more out of your life, you could say, maybe, or how would you put that?
I think I was just like, before I got into trucking, I was just kind of living in an apartment alone, just kind of withering away, and I would use that, like, I was not happy, and my mom told me one day, she's like, you should get into trucking, I think you'd be really good at it, and I like driving a lot, and I'm very good at being alone for long periods of time, like, and I was just like, okay, I'll just do it. Like, whatever. It was weird. It was like, I didn't even think about it. I just kind of did it. And that was really hard. Yeah. I really struggled in school. And anyways, got out of that. And I lucked into this job. Can't even pretend. Yeah. This is like one of the moments of all time is when I got this job and I didn't even know it.
Wow.
If that makes sense. Did that answer the question?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, totally. And then you... how'd you end up at Nussbaum then?
Yeah, so I was literally on Indeed, like applying to truck jobs because I'm like, I have a CDL now. I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And I remember passing on a few for no good reason, at least at the time. And then I just saw on Indeed, like a listing. I'm like, what did I call it? What does everyone call Nussbaum when they first see it? Like, Nussbaum. Yeah, no, they say it wrong, and I said it wrong. But and I just applied to it, and then I remember it was Cole Zeller. He used to work in the I guess recruiting department, and he called me, and I remember speaking with him, and then, I mean, then I think like within that month, I was in Bloomington and sleeping in an apartment, going to orientation for 10 hours a day, and starting work here.
Yeah,
and. I have so much to say about, I mean, it's not anything new. That's stuff that's already been said about this company, but I have so much good stuff to say.
That's awesome.
Dang. Yeah.
Well, and then there's a part here that you left for a short period and came back. What did that look like? I'd love to hear the story.
So I'm going to tell this story and don't do anything I did because kids are dumb and I was one of them. So I started working here, and I was in my, like, training period, and I was told, like, you know, at some point you're going to have to get tested for sleep apnea, and I was a big boy, and I knew that and didn't really change anything, and then I did end up getting tested. I had sleep apnea. I had to use a mask or whatever, and I couldn't use it, and it's not that, like, I had a problem with it, although I didn't like wearing it, but I was willing to do it.
Yeah.
Problem is I'll fall asleep and I will rip that thing off.
Yeah, right.
I am a very temperamental sleeper, or so I'm told. Yes, like I get up for school and I'd kick my mom and stuff and she'd try to wake me up. Not on purpose, but anyways. Yes, be afraid. But I'd take it off. And bottom line is, if you can't wear it for, what is it, like 4 hours? You can't truck. So that was sort of my hang up, and I couldn't fix it. Mm. So that was that. And obviously it wasn't the company's fault. I couldn't really blame anyone besides myself. You know, if I wanted to stay, I should have really focused more on losing the weight. But I didn't think about it. Maybe I didn't want my job. Maybe I didn't want to stay bad enough. But anyways, and I regret this. So don't do this. Don't ever do this. So I left, like, the head of safety in HR. And I was basically under it. I knew, like, okay, like, I'm leaving for now, right? Mm. And that's fine. But I got really depressed. I got really sad and caught up in it, because it's like you go to a bunch of companies, and I've worked at a bunch of warehouses and places I just don't care about, because there's nothing there. There's nothing like, there's, how do I say, that which animates the company is just already dead.
Sure.
And Nussbaum had that. Like, I had so much pride in being a trucker, and not just that, but working at a company that actually, like, cared. And I felt like I lost that, and, like, that was taken away from me, but not by you guys so much as just myself. And, well, the point is, I cut off communication. Like, I didn't call back, and I really, it was just some loose ends, but nonetheless, it was sort of like, I should have done this right, because these people were good to me and I owe them that, and I didn't. And that stuck with me for a while. Mm. Like, I was not okay with that. And I regret it deeply still. Mm. But I think the next year I basically, like, kind of just continued on. It was pretty sad. I still thought about it every day. Mm. Every single day I thought about trucking, but not just trucking, because I'm told I could have, there could have been a way. I could have gone back to trucking, but I didn't just want to truck. I wanted to truck here. I wanted to truck with these people.
Mm.
And so eventually I just stopped making excuses and started putting in the work. And I remember, I don't want to say harassed, but I remember calling, like, head of HR more than once.
Oh, no.
And just saying, like, all I got to do was leave voicemails, and it makes sense. And I hope he's okay with me talking about this, but, like, there was just, like, one or two of them where I'm like, I just apologized because I knew I needed to. And if all he did was hear it, then I'd be happy. And so anyways, okay, I moved to my sister's for, like, a while. Then I moved back to Illinois. And when I came back to Illinois, I came with a sword in my hand, man.
Oh my.
I was so, you know, it's sort of one of those, like, it's a dark place, but out of it, good things, you know, flourish or whatever you want to say.
Kind of like The Dark Knight. Have you seen that movie? When he's down in the cave and he's at the lowest and his city is on fire and he has to crawl out of this cave and his back is broken and he reaches the lowest point in order to get out of here. And yeah, so kind of that was your Dark Knight moment.
Oh yeah, this is like my redemption arc. Like, so I moved back to Illinois, moved in with my mom, got a job as a janitor at my high school, which is awesome. Yeah. That's the only other job I would have stayed at if it paid well enough. Hmm. That was all. And it was like, I look back at it so fondly, going to the gym. I spent like 5 hours a day at the gym. I spent like it was so nice. And I would just stay there so angry all the time, but like also really happy because I knew I was like, I'm like, okay, I'm finally putting in this work. Let's go. And I just had a fire under my butt, as they say. And I put in the work and I kept putting in the work, and it took like a whole nother year. But at the halfway through that, I hand wrote a letter and sent it to HR talking about, like, listen, I'm really sorry. I hope you can forgive me. I'd really like to come. I didn't talk about coming back. It was just the apology. That's all that mattered.
Yeah, right.
And then he responded to me through email, and I just said, like, thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you. I hope one day to come back. And he didn't respond to that. And I'm like, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. I got this. And I just kept putting in the work for another 6 months. And then I believe, it was March last year, early March, I think. I inquired about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll let you come back. Or they're like, yeah, come in for orientation. And they're like, there's a few conditions, but if those are met and sort of...
Yeah.
If you do those, basically, then yeah. And I am eternally grateful. And it's like, I can say I just lost the weight, and I did do that, but... It's sort of like I learned a lot of hard lessons that I should have learned a long time ago through this process. And I grew because I wanted it bad enough. And that's really important.
Yeah.
So that's my long answer there.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and then talk me through what were some of the things you did? And then I'd also like to hear the takeaways that you have from that journey and that long process. So what were some of the things you did to help you in that journey? You talked about working out for long periods in a day. I'd just be curious to know. And just for anyone listening, like how, yeah, if there's any benefit to anyone else out there, what would those habits look like?
So a lot of people will start with fitness, and I don't think you should do that. I think you can't begin to get in a routine that works for you if you aren't in the right state of mind. You need to be in the right state of mind. And I don't just mean to say, like, just decide you're happy. I think you can do that at a certain point, but in the beginning, no. You need to start, like, reinforcing thought patterns and making it so, like, when you do something you don't want to do, tell yourself that's bad and stay away from it. And when you do something that's good, tell yourself, like, literally think to yourself, this is good, keep doing it. Go, like, do a lap. Like, so I read a book called The Obstacle is the Way, and that did a lot to help. But basically, the obstacle is the way. Like, I want to get back to Nussbaum. I need to do this. I need to work out to do that. So that's what I did. I just started walking. And soon enough, I started running because I was tired of walking. And then I started running, like, around my entire town, like, like 11 and a half miles. Wow. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this every day. But, like, it's just small steps. Literally, just do anything. If you can get yourself out of bed, out of your chair, just to do anything, that is, and like, it sounds cliche, but that's half the battle, but it literally is. Because you're convincing yourself to do that, and most people don't get that far. You need to be able to convince yourself to do these things, and you need to continuously do that and reinforce that. So that's where I'd start. Okay. And then what's next?
You started walking and moving and.
So I kept doing that, and I just do this. Like, everyone knows basically what you should do. You should probably, like, you move around, do anything.
Yeah.
Right. Eat a little healthier. And I got to the point where I felt like I was plateauing or perhaps just not doing as good as I could. Get a trainer. I got this mean Muslim girl named Mira Dana as a trainer. Oh my goodness. What an angel. Like, she didn't take excuses. She didn't care if I was tired. Like, she might as well have had, like, a whip in her hands because of the way she worked me. And I love her to death. Get a trainer. Because if you get a trainer... Like, when I got into working out, and specifically lifting, I was deathly scared of doing this wrong. And she sort of alleviated all that. More than that, she told me, like, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this right, but also, I don't even want you to think about, like, what workouts you have to do. I'm going to work that out for you. So I could just focus on doing the thing instead of thinking about doing the thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then she also kind of, like, got my nutrition in order. So I was eating correctly. And that's so important because you can't, like, you can work out as, I could stay at the gym for 5 hours a day, but it doesn't really matter if all I'm eating is McDonald's. You can't eat your, or you can't work yourself out of a bad diet. You need to start eating right. That's actually, maybe that's where I'd start is, like, get that in order.
Yeah.
Get that in order. Like, your body is a machine that which your mind and I'd say soul control, but that's a different thing. Trick your body in every way you can.
Okay.
Like, game the system. Eat, like, if I'm hungry and it's really late at night, I'll eat Jell-O, and it just fills your stomach. It just makes you trick your body in every way. Your body is dumb, and you need to treat it that way. drink lots of water because you're probably thirsty and not hungry. Eat Jell-O. Eat high calorie or low calorie, high sugar food or candy because it'll trick your body into thinking it just ate a big meal. There's so many different things you can do. Substances you can take. I don't mean like bad stuff, like
right.
performance enhancing substances, yeah. stuff that just tricks your body into thinking it is a way it isn't. Yeah. And there's some serious advantages with that. So yeah. That's really important. But yeah, get your mind right, eat right, and you know, start doing some walks.
Yeah.
Right. But get a trainer, especially out here, because then you can just focus on trucking and working out and you don't have to think about all the other stuff because they're crunching the numbers and taking care of it. If you get one that's really good and it actually invested in you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's most of it, I think. That's yeah. most of it. That's most of what I did. But yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that good?
That's perfect. Okay. So what advice would you give to someone that is wanting to get healthy, but they don't know the next step to take?
I think, like, how for a complete beginner who hasn't even started yeah. working out, talk to someone who looks fit. Literally talk to, or get a trainer. Like, sit down with someone. You know, everyone knows where you're going to go and get fit. It's a gym. Go talk to people at the gym. Anything. Look it up. You have the internet. You have AI. I feel like I could give a million different like answers to that, but I feel like the actual answer is so obvious. It's like, do you really want to get fit if you're asking that question? Because mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, like, just start. And I like what you said. Just start moving. Take yes. one step in front of the other and go on walks. Then what was some of the stuff you learned when you're in that time? You said, I came out there and not only did my life improve, but I learned some things during that. What were some of those things, that takeaways?
You need obstacles in your life more than maybe, like, what is it? You have food, shelter, and what's the other, the basic needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Add obstacles to that list. You need reasons to go outside and do anything.
Mm.
Your reason can be whatever it is. It could be like, I need to do this for God, for myself, for my family. And yeah. those are all really good reasons. And
yeah.
past, for me personally, past the deep desire to come back to this company, that's what I use now. But what did I learn?
Hmm.
Like, okay, let me get back to this. I'm trying to circle back. You need obstacles. So you need mammoths to slay, as I like to say. Back then, we had mammoths, and you needed to kill a mammoth to live, to feed your family. But they're all gone, and you want for very little. All your needs are met, so you need new mammoths to slay.
Wow.
Find your mammoth and decimate it. Like, honestly, like, whatever your goal is, be them short term. I guess that's a small mammoth. Maybe one day you could kill a bigger mammoth, but you got to work up to that, buddy. So get outside, find that mammoth and slay it. All right. You need new mammoths. You always need a new mammoth.
Is this a Sloan original quote?
Yes. I think.
I've never heard that. Like, it sounds like from a book somewhere. Slay your mammoth.
It might be. Maybe that's like, if I run for governor of Montana, that's what my slogan will be. Yeah. Slay your mammoth.
Sloan, Montana. Slay your mammoth. It has a really nice ring to it. That could be like a book. Slay your mammoth. But not only the name, but the point you're mm-hmm. making is great. Life isn't made to be a breeze.
Mm-mm.
We were made to do hard things. We want challenge, even when we don't want a challenge. Deep inside there, we were built to do hard things and to risk ourselves,
mm-hmm.
love other people. So I think that's a really great thing of thinking about it. Slay your mammoth.
Mm-hmm. I think I have one more point on this, and it, like, fitness or the idea of health is sort of I think it's a Trinitarian concept of, there's three things. So you're made up of your body, your soul, and your mind. And that equals health, right? Also in the middle of that is also God, kind of. But I'm getting off track. Learn how to control your emotions and do what you want to do, or do what you don't want to do because you need to.
Hmm.
if you don't want to work out, that's all well and good, but you might need to. Like, and that's the bottom line. Like, I don't really need to go further than that, but it's easy to say that without having sort of the mental know-how. And there's a lot of good books on this, but I said this earlier. There's a book that I my voice just cracked. There's a book I really like called The Obstacle is the Way, and I read that when I was, like, at my worst. Get that book. That book. If I could recommend anything, like...
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great takeaway. Do what you don't want to do. And the book Atomic Habits talks about every time you do something that is building your character, a task that you're wanting to achieve. Let's say you want to be an artist. Maybe I'm not great at drawing, but every time I pick up the brush and I draw, even if it's a couple paint strokes, I am doing what an artist does. So in effect, I am casting a vote for a future version of myself that is an artist. So every time you do the task, you're casting a vote for that person. So you think about it, like it's a, and whatever has the most votes in the end wins. So yeah, it's just a fun perspective on
it. I like, is that in that book?
It is, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to read that. I like the way that's sort of vocalized. Okay.
Yeah, or if you want to be a baker, then every time you bake some cookies, you're casting a vote for that version of yourself that is an amazing baker or artist or videographer or whatever that looks like. So thinking about it, you know, you want to get stronger. And maybe I can't do a lot, but I'm gonna, if I can do one push-up, that's casting a vote for that person of yourself that is stronger. So it works on every level because you don't have to do 100 pull-ups, but you can start with where you're at. And so so let's go to looking at some rapid-fire questions and hot takes.
Okay.
Unless you want to comment anything else health-related.
Oh, no, let's go. That's fine. Either or.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. I'm excited for this part.
Okay.
Okay.
So, if you want to choose one of these cards here.
Middle. Would you rather never be able to use search engines again or never use smartphone apps again? Smartphone apps.
Okay.
Easily.
Just stick with the AI search engine.
Oh. All
right, pick another one.
Oh, okay.
You can just keep that.
Just take this one. Would you rather have your jaws wired shut for a month, drinking only out of a straw, or wear an eye patch for a year? Easily the eye patch for a year. That's actually, I do not like the idea of people messing with my jaw. That scares me deeply.
Okay.
Would you rather have your most embarrassing photos posted on Facebook or accidentally fall in public and a video goes viral? Or okay, yeah, no, I'll fall. Yeah, fall. I want to fall. I'll take the fall, yeah. Easily. All right.
And this is a question for a human, which you are.
Would you rather be able to meet your great-great-grandparents or your great-great-grandchildren and why? I think I'd go with great-great-grandparents. I'm told, I think my great-great-grandparent was a boxer from Sweden who moved to America and ended up getting got by the mafia in Vegas. So, yeah, I'm kind of curious about that. The future is not for me. I want the past. So
the future's not for you.
Mm-mm. What's this orange one?
Yeah, it's a guy's night.
If you could travel to work by any means of transportation, how would you get there? Oh, give me another one. This one doesn't count.
Yeah.
My bright blue Volkswagen Beetle.
That's
what I drive. I'll do
that's
that.
That's a fun car.
What are you superstitious about? Define superstitious for me.
Maybe just you have a weird routine that you feel like you have to do this in order to, you know, make sure whatever it looks like. So not OCD, but kind of along those lines of you feel like you have to do this thing in order to drive. Like you start the day before driving by walking around your truck or whatever?
That's a good question. I don't really. I'm gonna come back.
You can
to
skip that one.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, what hot takes do you have on life and, yeah.
Okay.
General question here.
What hot takes do I have? I guess I have, I don't know. Usually when I think about this, I'm thinking about specific topics.
No, and something we talked about before was, what do you think about when you're driving? And you mentioned that one of those things is micro anthropology.
Macro anthropological history. Okay.
So I guess my hot take would be studying history doesn't matter.
Oh, history matters a lot. Do you want me to?
And I believe history is important. I'm just saying that to spark a conversation. Give me a good reason why history is important.
Because, and I said this, you are everything good and bad about the previous generation and your family history. And it's a double-edged sword, and it's up to you to sort of overcome all the bad and become greater, become the greater man, as I think Nietzsche would say, and further your dynasty, become greater and pass that on to the next generation, and I do mean it. Like, I think genetic, like, memory is a thing, and like you, the way your body and your subconscious responds to things in the past that past ancestors have experienced, like, that has an effect on you. Like, so for instance, you'll see like people who lived in Scandinavia and had to prepare for winter do not work the same as people who lived in Africa where they didn't have to do that. That is built into you over thousands of years, and people take it for granted. Like, that's really important. I'm not saying that like necessarily says anything good or bad about the person, but what I'm saying is there's differences there that people don't tend to recognize when it needs to be. Like, the past matters, dude, mm-hmm. a lot. And it's just like, I can tell you a few things about the future I know for sure based on like the past. I can tell you if we're going to get into a war, like 17 out of 18 times you could look at Thucydides' trap, and like, that is when a rising power meets a power that's already like positioned. So like 17 out of 18 times it ends up in war. Mm-hmm. What are some other examples? Like, you can look at like past economies, mm-hmm. and based off that you can figure out, oh, okay, is our economy crashing?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff like that. Another hot take I can give, I've been thinking about this lately. Our school system is based on the Prussian school system. The Prussian school system was specifically designed for factory workers, and it's outdated. And the same with our political system. It was specifically designed for a military sort of infrastructure that doesn't exist anymore. And I don't think we should get rid of them completely, but I think we should really look at them. We got a lot of maintenance to do. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of maintenance to do. And we're the best country in the world.
So what would your recommendation be for the school systems?
I think there is a baseline of knowledge. I think you should be literate. I think you should probably be able to do basic math and some level of geometry. I think you need to know, listen, people who come here, move here from different countries, probably know American history better than you do because they had to pass a test. You need to know your history. And then probably just a baseline of like, okay, I kind of know the elements on the table, right? Mm-hmm. After that, so I want to say like, not even like high school, like, you should know this stuff by like fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And fifth grade, we should be putting people into trades, like figure out what you want to actually do. Like, think about it like this, like Puritans, very, very extreme sort of Christian sect of people who moved to America. They were considered adults by the time they were six. Like, you were expected to take care of the donkey, dude. Why aren't we doing that? Like,
yeah.
Start learning electricity. Start learning how to write. If you want to be a philosopher, go ahead and do that. Like, in the past, we have so many, you can look at so many different cultures who were just pumping out just, like, incredible, like, political polymaths. People who were not just, like, they say, what's that? Jack of many trades, master of nothing? No, these people were jacks of many trades, and they had all of this stuff mastered. Like, they were the best that were around, you know, level with every other the best in their sort of region. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we? We don't have specialists. Elon Musk even talks about this. He's like, we have enough factory workers. We need specialists. We need people who are specifically good at this specific process in this specific thing. And that's how we start furthering humanity, because, like, you know, the bar is pretty high, I'll admit. And the way to keep pushing that and to get above it is not just to keep pumping out factory workers. Mm-hmm. Like, especially with, like, AI, like, and I don't think AI is going to be really that great. I don't really care for it. But no, we need more big-time smart people. Big-time smart people.
Yeah. The Einsteins in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have a lot of great men anymore. And I don't mean good men. I mean, I could look at Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan and say, those are great men. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean good, because... Well, obviously, they're not great. They're not good people morally, mm-hmm. but they're several standard deviations above anyone in their time, and it's ludicrous to argue otherwise. And we need to start making great men. I don't mean bad men. I don't want more Genghis Khans, but we do need more people just doing great things in their own fields, and I don't think we're seeing enough of it.
Hmm. Yeah, and going back to what you said earlier, some of it comes down to having obstacles. When the path for us is cleared and made all nice and pretty, we don't always grow to become great people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't planning on saying this, but now that it's coming up, a lot of the great leaders in the world, you look at past presidents, almost a lot of them, there's a significant amount, lost one of their parents mm-hmm. when they're at a very young age, and how that was very influential into shaping who they became to become a great leader. And so, and I know that that we mentioned that before, that that's a part of your story too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's that loss
mm-hmm.
That you had at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And do you want to share just a short little bit? We don't have to keep it in if you don't want to.
No, I mean, it's important. Like, it's important to me as in my story. So when I was like 6 years old, basically dad was on his way to work on his motorcycle. He was passing by. It's a power plant. We pass by it. It's like, if anyone's ever been to like the Shanahan lot, you've passed by it. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like a city. It looks like a little industrial city. And there's that road that goes along it that you turn into to get to work. And there was a trucker, I believe he was on like cocaine and ended up hitting him. And I mean, he didn't die right there, but he ended up dying. And that kind of sucks. But the guy didn't get arrested or anything. Nothing happened to him because the new cop didn't test him and stuff. And anyways, it's a tragedy, and I lost my dad at a young age, but I guess as a trucker, you got to look at the silver linings there. And as a trucker, it's like, okay, how can I take what happened and make it into a good thing?
Mm.
And the best way I know how is like to maybe not do that, to not repeat that mistake by any means.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, we take safety seriously here, and you know, I think I take safety seriously enough, because I don't want to do that to, you know, I don't want to do that to a kid.
Mm.
You know, you need dads. We need dads. So you know, I guess if anyone's listening to this, like, take that story to heart, you know? But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You take it in stride. It's been a long time, but
yeah. I mean, it just is a great injustice, especially if they were on cocaine. I mean, how much more it does. It's like, why would this happen?
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate you being able to reflect on that and to pull out a silver lining from it and to realize that, you know, you're in this situation now as a truck driver, and you can positively impact other people by your safe driving. So that, I mean, it's shaping you. And so, yeah, I don't know. It is sad, but I'm glad that you've been able to work through that.
Well, yeah, you know, like for me, again, it's been a long time, but as someone who grew up most of the time without a dad, I wanna be the dad I never had now.
Mm.
Now I don't have any kids, but hey, you know, always working on it, right? Yeah. Like that's life.
Yeah. I just got one last question for us today, and that's our motto's to be purpose driven, creating a positive impact with every interaction. So for you, what would that look like? What does it mean for you to be purpose-driven, creating a positive impact in every interaction? Because that's a lot of, you know, writing. What does that tangibly mean? And I want to know, what does it mean for Sloan, Montana? So just purpose-driven, to be purpose-driven, to create a positive impact in people's lives, what does that mean for you?
I think it means to take everyone in your life into consideration, yourself, your family, and God, and to go about everything you're doing to honor them. I guess just to understand, like, how do I say? That's what should matter to you, and that's what purpose means to me, is honoring them, and I guess just living my life that way. I don't know if that's a good answer, but
yeah to take those that are in your world and to love them, and yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's all I got. I'm sorry. That's all I got.
It's great.
That's all I got for an answer.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Either shout outs to people in your life, or people here at work, Nussbaum, a driver manager, or.
A quote from St. Augustus of Hippo. Treat your body as though you were going to live forever, and your soul as though you were going to meet God tomorrow.
Hmm.
Yep, that's all I got.
Well, that's a perfect way to wrap it up. I think that's really, with your story coming from that place of darkness and rising out of it, and it's not only just your body, but your mind is a big part of that, mm-hmm. and we all have a soul, and that's something that we don't think about too much, is we work out our body, but are we working out our soul too, mm-hmm. doing a soul workout? And we're all built to live forever. And we're not just temporal beings, but there is an afterlife. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There's so taking that into consideration. And so thank you for sharing your story. And thank you to our listeners. Until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Newsbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.